Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really glad to have Quentin Henning with me once again. Today, he's going to be with us, or he is with us, to talk about ISCA project. It's a silver tin project that El Oro owns and is was advancing it very, very rapidly. It seems to be doing extremely well. It's one of the more exciting stories in my newsletter, I would say. Quentin is a technical advisor to El Oro. And of course, he is also the mainstay technical advisor at Crescat Capital, where his weekly commentary on Crescat Gets Active YouTube series is highly recommended for investors in the mineral exploration space. In fact, it's one of those must-see videos that I make sure I find out, I watch. And you can watch it live, actually. A lot of times I don't have the time to do it, but you can catch up with it later. It's just a very, very valuable service, and one of the companies that Quentin covers and is very much involved with is El Oro. Before I say hello to Quentin, I should tell you that it trades in Canada under the symbol ELO. You can buy it in the United States under the symbol ELRRF. There's 63.7 million shares outstanding. I believe that's a correct number. Today's around 11 o'clock this morning, at least, when I checked it, is at $3.79 in U.S. money, giving a market cap of around $240 million U.S. dollars or so. Quentin, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Jay.
It's good to have you and talking to us from Colorado, I presume. And, you know, I've been following El Oro. I think you mentioned the name to me back around November of 2020, and I'm sure glad I did because it's really blossoming out into what looks like a very major discovery of a silver tin polymetallic discovery. The company, you know, it's that ISCA project. It's got these breccia pipes that are hosting the mineralization around the perimeter of this large caldera in Bolivia. And most of the focus thus far has been on the Santa Barbara pipe, but the scale of mineralization there just seems to be growing, both to the north, and now they're poking some holes to the south down into some of the other, I guess at least one of the other breccia pipes. But can you give us an update on this story, Quentin? Because it really is, I think, one of the better stories out there.
It is. There's no denying this is a world-class discovery. Look, this is the only time I've been associated with a drill program where, you know, after a year and a half, they have yet to find the limits of mineralization. It's absolutely unbelievable. You know, they kind of had this view early, say a year ago, that let's drill off a part of this and take it to a resource, you know, and they focused on the Santa Barbara area, which is one of the breccia pipes that you mentioned, thinking, you know, this would be a reasonable task. And then they started drilling and drilling more and hitting more and drilling more and hitting more. And it went on and on. And you know, most recently, they've announced extension now, a major extension of the Santa Barbara target area, or this system, to the south. And, you know, this hole that came back a few days ago, this is early March, is absolutely jaw-dropping. You know, it hit a 373 meters.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, that's like a quarter of a mile. You know, like, how often do you drill something like that? And the grade was 172 gram silver equivalent. Now, you know, the drill hole does have a significant amount of silver, but, you know, guess what? Tin is a major component of this drill hole. So this is, you know, by far the value is in the tin in this area. So this is an exciting development. It still has the lead zinc as well. So there's, you know, the typical base metal assemblage that you would expect with silver. But this tin component is really setting ISCA apart from any other modern discoveries in this region in Bolivia. You know, so to put it in context, you know, other mines like, say, San Cristobal, they're a traditional silver lead zinc mine in all, you know, all respect. Whereas this thing has this tin kicker, and the tin is just mind boggling. You know, inside of that, I think the thing that I found most intriguing was that inside of that, there are some higher grade intervals. For instance, there's a 28.5 meter interval of 401 gram silver equivalent, which does include 0.61% tin.
Wow.
I mean, just think about it. That's a lot of, you know, tin's $45,000 a ton right now. So that's a lot of dollar value in tin alone. And then additionally, there was another interval inside that was 95 meters of 261 grams silver equivalent, and that included 0.43% tin. And then further down the hole, look, this hole, it was drilled kind of westward from the underground adit there that they've been drilling from, and it tested the, you know, more or less the full width of the Santa Barbara target area. And down towards the bottom of the hole, they hit another 60-meter interval of 0.28% tin. You know, so there's clearly a driver of the system, like the magmatic driver, the tin porphyry that produced this system is, you know, interpreted to be lurking down in that region.
Yeah, as I understand it, that hole that you referred to might have hit a target area. I think it's down on the edge of the Porco Breccia pipe. Do I have that right? Is that the Porco Breccia pipe?
It is actually further south. If you look at Porco, it's about another kilometer, believe it or not, to the south.
Okay.
There's this very distinct geophysical expression,
right,
that the company has seen, which in profile looks like a giant tongue that's emerging out of the Porco area and extends all the way up. It's kind of subhorizontal. It looks like a dragon's tongue, and it extends subhorizontally up underneath the Santa Barbara area. And that's why I think this thing's going to continue to grow. I think at this point, the company realizes that trying to drill this thing off is going to take a little bit longer, you know, maybe another 6 months or so. So they've forestalled the goal of getting into a resource stage a little ways, which in my view is a good move, because, I mean, this thing, the way it's growing and the dollar value of this rock they're hitting, like, why would you stop drilling here? You know, this doesn't make any sense. So I would say look for a lot of news to come. I think the biggest takeaway from that news release, Jay, is that this drill hole clips that dragon's tongue that I mentioned. It basically drills through an area that's anomalously magnetic. Now, what Bill and Oswaldo have determined is the mineralization, this tin mineralization, occurs with a mineral called pyrrhotite, and it's an iron sulfide. It's like kind of like pyrite, but it's magnetic. Okay, so this is one of those rare cases where you can actually see a geophysical expression that is likely directly related. You know, can serve as a proxy, we'll call it, for mineralization. Right now, if people look at the news release from, let's see, it was March 1st that this was put out.
Right.
There is a figure that's attached to that that shows this big red blob that extends southward from the Santa Barbara area. And that this hole, hole number, let's see, it's MET, it's, what do they call it, I can't remember it.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Right in front of me, but it basically clipped the end of this tongue. Here it is, DSBU03. Okay, it clipped the end of this tongue, and the thing is wide open. I mean, you want to talk about a billion ton plus target? It's clearly there. This is incredible.
It's a very sizable magnetic anomaly, I believe. They just clipped the top of that thing, I guess, and it looks very large based on the pictures that they sent along with the news release. As I understand it, Quentin, these tin usually is formed or settles out at lower levels, at deeper levels. Is that right?
Yeah, tin usually sticks closer to the mothership, meaning the causative intrusive. Okay, so the magma itself that generated all the metal. Right, and the tin usually stays closer to them. And that's not to say that it's like right there and then it shuts off. That's not how it works. I would say over the next few hundred meters, 500 meters, a kilometer, something like that, this system should persist. And if anything, we should see more and more tin. And who knows? I mean, this thing's every time we drill, it's got more surprises. I think we might start to see copper and gold and stuff emerge too, but that's all to be seen here. It's really exciting.
Yeah. So you think the maiden resource will be delayed? I know I met with Dr. Bill Pearson up in Vancouver, and he seemed to be hinting at maybe a sort of a two-prong resource, maybe one from more the northern area that's more silver, zinc, lead type, and then one to the south that has more tin component. And but anyway, it's going to come later, I guess, the resource is what you're suggesting, than we might have expected earlier.
That's right. There's no point in announcing a resource right now when you're in the middle of hitting, you know, some of the best mineralization you've hit to date. I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, let's drill this thing off for a few months and see where it goes.
Yeah. Can you give us a sense? I think you said 45,000 a ton for tin. Is that substantially higher than normal? Because I don't follow the tin markets that much. I'm not familiar with the tin markets.
Tin's an interesting metal. You know, it was mainly sourced from Southeast Asia and China for many years, in fact, decades. But those sources are gradually running out. Plus, China is consuming their tin production. They don't necessarily export tin like they used to. So tin has become scarcer and scarcer, especially in the Western world. And because of that, the price has gone up here lately. Okay, so if you wind back the clock, there was a tin shortage in the mid-1980s. There was a brief spike. But for the most part, tin was trading in the, you know, low dollars, maybe $3, $4, $5 a pound, which in terms of, you know, metric ton is, you know, maybe, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 a metric ton, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's only been in the past, you know, couple of years here that we've seen tin really take off. There was a brief uptick, I think, in the late 2000s, and then, you know, in early teens here, but this most recent uptick is genuine. It's real. There's a tin shortage. There have been no significant primary tin deposits discovered in recent time. So, you know, Iskia is absolutely hitting this right. I mean, this is probably one of, if not the biggest tin discovery, hard rock tin discoveries in history. So if, you know, in a market that's craving tin right now, you know, what better present to deliver here is high-grade tin porphyry.
Yeah, what's not to like? And all right, so how many drills are operating there? And I guess they're going to just be drilling the bejeebus out of this thing, huh? They're going to be just drilling like crazy.
They got three, but the fourth one coming. So they'll have four drills operating here shortly. And, yes, they are drilling like mad right now. If you look at the news release, every time they publish a news release, you can actually keep track of where the drilling is, because Bill and team label the drills mm-hmm. that are in progress and so forth. And you'll see that they have a whole bunch of drill holes set up down there in the south end of the Santa Barbara area of different, you know, off of different drill pads. And they're going to tackle this thing clear down to the Portico area. I think by, you know, say 6 months from now, we'll have a much clearer picture of exactly how big this thing is. I think it's going to be enormous. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, I think you said the most significant tin discovery in a generation, and I asked Bill Pearson whether he thought Quentin was getting carried away, and he said, no, by no means. And now you're talking about anyway, it's a very exciting story. So can they drill year-round there?
Yes, they can. I mean, there is a winter season, quote-unquote, yeah. In which it kind of gets cold and blowy. Which is coming, but right now they're doing a great job drilling. You know, I would say last year, other than an occasional windstorm, the company was able to operate pretty continuously for the past 18 months.
Mm-hmm. And they're well financed, I believe. They've got money in the bank, and I think they put out and made an announcement of some sort of shelf prospectus or shelf financing that would allow them some flexibility. Upwards to, I think, if I'm not wrong, upwards to $100 million or something like that?
I believe that's correct. I haven't read through the shelf prospectus. The company has a pretty good treasury right now, but mm-hmm. they are churning through $1.5 million or so a month, I believe, currently with this drill program. So they need to hit it hard. You know, this is one of those deposits where, you know, the price of the company, fortunately, is very high, and it absolutely justifies drilling intensively, you know, to create value. So I have very little issue with the way that Tom and team have approached things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've kept the share structure very nice and tight with 63.7 million shares, which is really sort of reminds me of Great Bear, another company that I followed, and they did such a remarkable job of keeping the dilution down. And the other way this reminds me of that is that these guys are, you know, they're drilling. They're not quick to make an announcement because at Great Bear, they kept finding at Dixie Project, they kept finding more and more. Same thing is happening here. So better not to, if you keep finding more, you might not better set people's sights too low, I guess. So this is quite a story, Quentin. I want to thank you for bringing it to my attention some time ago. And folks can hear more about this and other companies that Quentin's involved with at Crescat, many of which I follow here as well. And Crescat gets active every Friday, I think at about, 2 o'clock Eastern time or something like that. Quentin, you guys do that?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock Eastern time, usually a little after because we're running late. Either Tavi, Kevin, or myself are getting flying together, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's live, and it's live. People can watch it live, and then, of course, later on. Quentin, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us today and bringing us and updating us on this very exciting story.
Certainly, Jay, anytime.